A new science officer passes Spock and McCoy on a lower deck.
Good morning, sir. Doctor?
McCoy stares after him.
Something wrong?
Yes. There's something odd about that man, and I can't quite pinpoint it.
Perhaps you're making a rather hasty judgment. Mr. Norman has only been aboard 72 hours.
Well, I know when something doesn't strike me right, and he doesn't.
Specifics, Doctor. Labels do not make arguments.
All right. There's something wrong about a man who never smiles, whose conversation never varies from the routine of the job, and who won't talk about his background.
I see.
Spock. I mean that it's odd for a non-Vulcan. The ears make all of the difference.
I find your arguments strewn with gaping defects in logic.
Maybe, but you can't evaluate a man by logic alone. Besides, he has avoided two appointments that I've made for his physical exam without reason.
That's not at all surprising, Doctor. He's probably terrified of your beads and rattles.
Norman, the officer in question, goes into the auxiliary control room and knocks out the ensign at the control desk.
Command personnel!
He goes from panel to panel, flicking switches and turning dials. A light saying overload danger flashes. On the bridge, Sulu calls Captain Kirk over to look at one of the instruments.
Yes, Mr. Sulu.
There's an unplanned course change being fed into the instrument, sir.
Correct it.
I can't, sir.
Auxiliary control, this is the captain. Auxiliary control, what's going on down there?
Sir, auxiliary control is on total override.
Kirk to security.
Security. Lieutenant Rowe here, sir.
Intruder alert, deck 8, auxiliary control.
Acknowledged.
Lieutenant Uhura, have Mr. Spock report to the bridge.
Aye, sir.
What's the imposed course, Mr. Sulu?
Turning on 307 degrees, mark 8. Being executed now, sir.
The Enterprise alters course. A three-strong security team enter the auxiliary control room and find Ensign Jordan unconscious.
Take care of him.
Two guards drag him away. The officer opens a comms channel.
Security to Captain Kirk.
Kirk here.
Lieutenant Rowe, sir. I'm in auxiliary control. Ensign Jordan's been knocked out.
The directional master controls have been jammed. They're totally unworkable.
Any sign of the intruder?
No, sir. He's gone. I've put out a full security alert on all decks.
Find him. Kirk out. Mr. Spock, we seem to be taking an unscheduled ride.
Interesting.
Mr. Sulu. Cut an emergency manual monitor. I want the override broken.
Sir, the instruments won't respond.
Emergency manual monitor, report.
Norman goes into engineering and attacks the duty crew.
Emergency manual monitor, this is the captain, report.
Here, you're not allowed.
Acknowledge. This is the captain, Scotty. Acknowledge. Scotty, what's going on down there? Kirk to engineering. This is the captain. Scotty, report. Scotty, the intruder is in your area.
The engineers fight back. Norman knocks them out and starts making adjustments to the controls.
What's going on down there, Scotty?
Scotty comes round and manages to open an intercom channel.
Captain, he's here.
Scotty.
Norman leaves engineering.
Scotty? Security. The intruder's in the engineering section. Have all units convert to that point.
Sir, we're picking up speed. Warp 5, 6... Warp 7, sir.
Cut power.
I can't, sir. All the controls are jammed.
Spock, take over.
Norman appears.
It will not be necessary, Captain.
He releases Kirk's arm. Kirk rubs it ruefully and looks up at the taller, more powerful man.
Tell security we found the intruder. You mind telling me what this is all about, mister?
I am in total control of your ship. I have connected the matter antimatter pods to the main navigational bank. A trigger relay is now in operation. Any attempts to alter course will result in the immediate destruction of this vessel.
Spock?
Confirmed, Captain. He's taken out all the override controls. If we tamper without knowing where the trigger relay is, we could extinguish ourselves.
Who are you?
I assure you, we are no threat to humanity or humanoid life. We mean you no harm. but we require your ship.
You require... Who and what are we?
Norman lifts up his blue Science Division shirt to reveal a panel in his stomach. He opens it. A complex array of wiring and circuitry winks and glows.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry, starring William Shatner. Also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock and DeForest Kelly as Dr. McCoy. I, Mud, written by Stephen Kendall, directed by Mark Daniels. On the bridge, Spock and Kirk look at the cavity in Lieutenant Norman's abdomen, flashing with circuitry.
An android.
And most sophisticated.
I control the trigger relay, sir. I cannot be overcome by physical means. And if you attempt to use your phasers, the trigger relay will be activated. We shall continue on our present course for approximately 4 solar days, at which time we shall arrive at our destination.
Who sent you?
The android turns away.
I am not programmed to respond in that area.
Norman closes his eyes, folds his arms, and becomes stationary. Spock puts his hand on the android's face.
Simply appears to have turned himself off, Captain. And since we cannot repair the damage he's done without destroying the ship...
It seems we're going to take a little trip.
Kirk fumes with impotent rage.
Captain's log, stardate 4513.3. After having been taken over by an android, the Enterprise has been underway at warp 7 for 4 days. Now, we are entering orbit around a planet which has never been charted.
On the bridge, the android, still standing in exactly the same position in front of the lift doors, abruptly opens its eyes.
Captain Kirk.
Everyone looks round.
The following individuals will be transported down to our planet. Yourself, science officer, medical officer, communications officer, and navigator.
Any meetings or discussions can be held aboard the Enterprise.
If you do not come with me, your engines will be destroyed. And you will remain in orbit here, forever.
I must say that's a gracious invitation.
There is a word. Among us, there is no corresponding meaning. But it seems to mean something to you humans.
And what is that word?
Please.
Kirk's eyebrows register a flicker of surprise. At the con, Sulu and Chekhov exchange a look. Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Uhura, and Chekhov beam down with the android Norman into a hallway carved from rock with strange angular doorways.
Our planet's surface is what you classify as K-type, adaptable for humans by use of pressure domes and life support systems.
Two leggy women guard a door.
I have brought them.
He is waiting. If you will follow us, please.
The doors open to reveal two more leggy brunette androids standing either side of a throne where a piratical figure with a handlebar moustache drains a goblet.
I don't believe it.
Welcome aboard, Kirk. It's been a long time, eh?
Harry Mudd.
Well, to be absolutely accurate, Laddiebuck, you should refer to me as Mudd the First, ruler of this entire sovereign planet.
Ruler? Harry, I want control of my ship returned immediately. We have no intention of staying as your guests.
Well, I'm afraid there's a bit of a problem there.
Kirk to Enterprise.
Alice.
Kirk to Enterprise.
One of the brunettes gently takes Kirk's communicator and crushes it.
Now, Jamie boy, let's have no unauthorized communications.
You know this man, Captain?
Do I know him? Harcourt, Fenton, Mudd, thief.
Oh, come now.
Swindler and con man.
Entrepreneur.
Liar and rogue.
Did I leave you with that impression?
He belongs in jail, which is where I thought I left you, Mudd.
And thereby hangs a tale, yes. But look round you, Kirk. It's quite a place here, isn't it? I hope you're all going to enjoy it.
Mudd, I want that trained machine of yours, Norman, to deactivate the trigger mechanism and free my ship.
I shall do that, Kirk, when I'm ready.
I'm telling you now.
And I do the telling on this planet, Kirk, old boy. You do the listening.
They lock eyes.
All right, I'll listen. What are you telling?
Ooh, merely that you might as well start enjoying yourselves. It's really a very, very nice place. And you're all going to be here, quite probably, for the rest of your lives.
Mudd, in his comic opera uniform, leans back in his throne and cackles as he points at the bemused Enterprise crew.
Harry Mudd, you're a liar and an outlaw and in deep trouble. I want navigational control restored, my ship released.
Sorry, that'd be against the law. My law. Decreed by Mudd the First. Voted in by the resident population. Lovely, aren't they? You must admit, Kirk, that I still retain my eye for beauty. I decreed that I should always be surrounded by it, and my decrees always come to pass.
He beckons two identical android females in spangly white tights and flimsy salmon-colored chiffon tunics appear.
I've had 500 of them made up to attend me.
He beckons. Two more appear with the identical hairbands and beehive hairdos of all the others.
All of them identical. Beautiful, compliant, obedient.
500 of the same model. That seems rather redundant.
I have a fondness for this particular model, Mr. Spark, which you, unfortunately, are ill-equipped to appreciate.
The females leave.
All right, Harry. Explain, how did you get here? We left you in custody after that affair on the Rigel mining planet.
Yes. Well, I organized a technical information service, bringing modern industrial techniques to backward planets, making available certain valuable patents to struggling young civilizations throughout the galaxy.
Did you pay royalties to the owners of those patents?
Actually, Kirk, as a defender of the free enterprise system, I found myself in a rather ambiguous conflict as a matter of principle.
He did not pay royalties.
Knowledge, sir, should be free to all.
Who caught you?
That, sir, is an outrageous assumption.
Yes, who caught you?
I sold the Denebians all the rights to a Vulcan fuel synthesizer.
And the Denebians contacted the Vulcans?
How'd you know?
That's what I would have done.
It's typical police mentality. They've got no sense of humor. They arrested me.
Oh, I find that shocking.
Worse than that, do you know what the penalty of a fraud is on Deneb 5?
The guilty party has his choice. Death by electrocution, death by gas, death by phaser, death by hanging.
The key word in your entire peroration, Mr. Spark, was death. Barbarians. Well, of course, I left.
He broke jail.
I borrowed transportation.
He stole a spaceship.
The patrol reacted in a hostile manner.
They fired at him.
They've got no respect for private property. They damaged the bloody spaceship.
Despite himself, Kirk smiles.
Well, I got away, but I couldn't navigate, so I wandered out through unmapped space, and here I found Mudd.
You went to substantial risk and effort to bring a starship here. Logically, you must have a compelling motive.
Spark, you're going to love it here. They all talk just the way you do.
Go on, get on with it, Harry.
Well, right, Laddie Buck. Well, so here I am in a planet with over 200,000 hard-working, happy androids, all of whom exist merely to serve my every whim. It's absolute paradise.
Then I am unable to discern your problem.
They won't let me go. They want to study me. They want to learn more about human beings.
They picked a fine representative.
Watch your tongue, lad. You're talking about Mudd the First. Well, anyway, I ran out of ideas. I simply ran out of things for them to do. And they insisted that I bring them more human beings. They need human beings to serve, to study. So I had to promise them a prime sample. A starship captain. Bright, loyal, fearless, and imaginative. Any captain would have done. I was just lucky enough to get you. So you are going to take over for me here, and I get off this rock and back to civilization.
I think not, Harry.
You misunderstand me, lad. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. You've no choice. Show them to their quarters.
Yes, my lord, Mudd.
This way, please.
They move off.
Harry, what's this?
Ah. That, gentlemen, is a shrine to the memory of my beloved Stella.
Who?
Stella, my wife.
Dead?
Oh, no, merely deserted. You see, gentlemen, behind every great man, there is a woman urging him on. And so it was with my Stella. She urged me on into outer space. Not that she meant to, but with her continual, eternal, confounded nagging. Well, I think of her constantly. And every time I do, I go further out into space.
That's very interesting. You leave your wife and then bring her along.
I had the androids construct a perfect replica of Stella so that I could gaze upon her and rejoice in her absence. Gentlemen, attend. Stella, dear.
Harcourt? Harcourt, Fenton, Mudd, what have you been up to? Nothing good, I'm sure. Well, let me tell you, you lazy good-for-nothing...
Shut up!
The red-haired Harridan android shuts down.
Marvelous. I finally have the last word with her and with you.
He jabs a finger at Kirk and walks away. The landing party is shown into a severely modern lounge.
You will find this quite comfortable. Your quarters are down the hall.
If there is anything you need...
Yes, my ship.
We are not programmed to respond in that area.
Norman, who created you?
The Makers designed us. They came from the galaxy of Andromeda.
Then your Makers weren't humanoids.
They were, as you say, quite humanoid. But unlike your civilization, robots were common. We performed the necessary service functions and freed our Makers to evolve a perfect social order.
What became of them?
Our home planet Sun became a nova. Only a few exploratory outposts survived. This unit, myself, was part of one such outpost in your galaxy.
Then some of your Makers survived?
No, Captain. They died over the stretch of time.
Whom do you serve now?
We serve Harry Mudd.
He has given us purpose again.
It is necessary to have purpose.
We lacked it for a long time.
The android Norman goes.
We have a very extensive library section for your amusement. Our research laboratories and workshops are extremely well equipped. You are free to visit them.
All right, we might later. In the meantime, would you mind leaving us?
Why should we leave you?
Because we don't like you. No.
The female androids leave.
Well, opinions?
I think we're in a lot of trouble.
That's a great help, Mr. Chekhov Bones.
Well, I think Mr. Chekhov's right. We are in a lot of trouble.
Spock, and if you say we're in a lot of trouble...
We are. And we must direct our attack to the heart of the matter. Obviously, this many androids cannot operate independently. There must be a central control system which guides the entire android population.
Try and find it. The rest of you, look around. Learn everything you can. I'll see what else I can find out from Mr. Mudd. Let's go.
Spock is in a room with three androids.
I trust you are enjoying yourself, Mr. Spock.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
He turns to Norman, who's at a control desk clutching a large crystal.
This is a most unusual device.
It is our central control complex.
Did I understand there are more than 200,000 of you?
207,809.
This would seem to be a simple relay center. Are all of you controlled through this device?
Norman wears a pendant around his neck, engraved with the number 1. It flashes.
I am not programmed to respond in this area.
Oh, that's quite understandable.
These are our Barbara series. The body is covered with a self-renewing plastic over a skeleton of beryllium-titanium alloy.
Very impressive.
I should say so.
Well, I must say I like the styling.
They were, of course, made to my personal specifications, as indeed were the Maisie series, the Trudy series, and particularly the Annabelle series.
Don't you believe in male androids, Harry?
Male, I suppose they have their uses.
How long does a body like that last?
None of our android bodies has ever worn out. However, the estimated duration of this model is 500,000 years.
500,000 years?
Our medi-robots are able to place a human brain within a structurally compatible android body.
Immortality and eternal beauty.
Mud leers at Uhura lasciviously. She looks at the female androids with a thoughtful expression.
Captain, I've just had a most fascinating meeting with Norman, and I'm convinced that I've discovered a very important inconsistency.
Well, I'm so glad you enjoyed it, Doctor.
That's great. Jim, you should see the research facilities. They've got a lab down there that, well, I could spend the rest of my life studying it.
I do so admire a man who devotes himself to knowledge.
Don't lose your head, Bones. Nobody's staying anywhere.
Stubborn, Kirk, stubborn.
I wouldn't be bored, I can tell you that.
Let go of me! Now, what are you doing? What kind of a woman...
fun, Lord.
Splendid, splendid. Welcome to Mud, Mr. Scott.
Harry Mud. Oh, you bogus frat, you. You're the cause of all this, are you?
Scotty, you were ordered to stay aboard.
Aye, sir. And I stayed until that female gargantua threw me into the transporter beams.
What does she mean, the last one?
Didn't I tell you, Kirk? I've beamed a few dozen androids up to your ship. They've been sending your crew to the surface for the past couple of hours. They're all down now.
Are you out of your mind?
You can't beam down an entire crew of a spaceship. Somebody has to be on board.
Well, there is an entire crew aboard. An entire crew of androids. They learn very quickly, Captain. The fact is, I've taken over your whole ship. There's nothing you can do about it.
Harry, you'll never get away with it.
Well, who's to stop me?
Starfleet.
Ah, but now, Captain, now I have a ship of my own, and it's as fast as any in the fleet. So how will they catch me, eh? Just think of it, Laddiebuck. Harry Mudd, with his own crew of lovelies aboard your vessel. Think about that.
I'm trying not to.
Alice!
Mudd and the female Alice android go.
He could successfully accomplish it, Captain. I've questioned a number of the androids, and they are totally loyal to Mudd. Perhaps of more concern is the fact that this android population can literally provide anything a human being could ask for in unlimited quantity.
Yes, I know that's what worries me. How will my crew react in a world where they can have absolutely everything they want simply by asking for it?
Chekhov sits in Mudd's throne.
You desire something, Lord?
Oh, yes, thank you.
They pour him a drink.
Your Alice 118. And your Alice 322. Oh, well, it doesn't make much difference. You're both lovely.
Thank you, my lord.
You desire something else, lord?
Chekhov looks at the two Alice androids, identical apart from the number on the badge pendants round their necks.
What a shame you're not real.
We are real, my lord.
Oh, I mean real girls.
We are programmed to function as human females, lord.
You are?
Yes, my lord.
Harry Mudd programmed you?
Yes, my lord.
That unprincipled, evil-minded, lecherous kulak, Harry Mudd programmed you?
Yes, my lord.
This place is even better than Leningrad.
He smiles happily. Norman shows Scotty an engineering lab.
Absolutely fantastic. Handwork to the finest tolerances, microvision, and a nanopulse laser. I've never seen the like before.
You may command us to make anything for you, or do the work yourself, for pleasure. You may have the services of any number of craftsmen, exclusive use of the computer facilities. Anything.
Captain, you should see this shop. Why, there are facilities we've never even thought of.
Is that the way you're going to do it, Mud? Hit my people at the weakest point?
We only wish to make you happy and comfortable, Captain. If we are to serve your kind, we must understand you. Our Lord Harry Mud was only one example for us. Now we are learning a great deal from all of you.
All right, here we are, birds in a gilded cage. The question is, how do we get out of here?
I don't know, sir, but it's a very nice gilded cage.
And it is a very pleasant place, Captain.
What did they offer you, Uhura?
Oh, nothing really important, just immortality.
All right. We're getting back to the ship, and don't you forget it. Straighten up. This may be a gilded cage. Filled with everything you always wanted, but it's still a cage. We don't belong here. We belong on that ship up there.
Do you require something, Lord?
No, yes, my ship.
I am not programmed to
respond
in
that
area.
Yes, I know.
Is there anything any of you require to please you?
Alice, give us back our ship to please us. Return us to our ship because we desire it.
We are programmed to serve. We shall serve you to your best interests to make you happy.
But we're unhappy here.
Please explain unhappy.
Unhappiness is the state which occurs in the human when wants and desires are not fulfilled.
Which wants and desires of yours are not fulfilled?
We want the Enterprise.
The white badge around the neck of Alice 471 starts to flash. She hesitates as if communicating.
The Enterprise is not a want or a desire. It is a mechanical device.
No, it's a beautiful lady and we love her.
Illogical, illogical. All units relate. All units. Norman, coordinate.
She stares straight ahead. The light shines steadily.
Unhappiness does not relate. We must study this.
The Enterprise officers watch her retreating back as she leaves their quarters.
Interesting.
Fascinating.
Bones, have you had time to take any psychological readings of the androids?
I did, and you can forget it. They're perfect. Flawless, mentally and physically. No weaknesses, perfectly disciplined, no vices, no fears, no faults, just a sense of purpose. And believe me, there's nothing tougher to overcome, even among humans.
Yes, that's what this crew needs, a little sense of purpose.
In the throne room, Mud is attended by Norman, three male and three female androids.
Mud, a few questions I want to ask you.
Oh, afraid I won't have time to answer them. My bags are all packed. The androids will take the Enterprise out of orbit in less than 24 hours. But it's been a real pleasure having you here, Kirk. Is there anything I can get for you?
Yes, my ship.
Oh, you're a stubborn fellow, aren't you? But I don't mind that at all. Because I'll be leaving here quickly enough, and then you can be stubborn at your own leisure. One last time.
He draws back the curtain on his shrine. The Virago android comes to life and points her finger at him.
Stella? Dear.
Harcourt, Fenton, Mudd, where have you been? What have you been up to? Have you been drinking again, you miserable sot? You good for nothing!
Shut up!
Bling.
She shuts down. Mudd turns to Kirk with a beaming smile.
Alice, number two, my little love. Will you have my bags transported up to the ship?
No, my lord, Mudd.
What?
We can no longer take your orders, Harry Mudd.
Why not?
Our makers were wise. They programmed us to serve.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. Put my bags on the ship.
Harry, I think they have something else in mind.
You are correct, Captain. Harry Mudd is flawed, even for a human being. We recognized this from the beginning, but used his knowledge to obtain more specimens. Your species is self-destructive. You need our help.
We prefer to help ourselves. We make mistakes, but we're human. And maybe that's the word that best explains us.
We will not harm you, but we will take the starship, and you will remain on this planet.
Now, look here, you can't do that. Now, listen, to serve us, you must obey us.
No, my Lord Mudd.
Alice, number one, obey me! Put my bags on that ship!
Alice One pushes Mudd to the floor.
We cannot allow any race as greedy and corruptible as yours to have free run of the galaxy.
I'm curious, Norman. Just how do you intend to stop them?
We shall serve them. Their kind will be eager to accept our service. Soon they will become completely dependent upon us.
Their aggressive and acquisitive instincts will be under our control.
We shall take care of them.
Eminently practical.
The whole galaxy controlled by your kind?
Yes, Captain. And we shall serve them, and you will be happy and controlled.
So far, this thing has had its amusing aspects, but that threat the androids made about taking over all the humans in the galaxy is not very funny.
Indeed, it is not. They may quite possibly be able to accomplish it.
Take my word for it, they can.
Whatever method we use to stop them, we must make haste. They have only to install some cybernetic devices aboard the Enterprise, and they'll be able to leave orbit.
How do you know so much?
I asked them.
Oh.
Why shouldn't they answer our questions? They don't think we can do anything to stop them.
You're so smart, Kirk. You and this pointy-eared thinking machine of yours. Well, you'd better do something, because I'm as anxious to get off this ruddy rock as you are.
I seem to remember that you wanted to leave us on this ruddy rock and leave by yourself.
Yeah.
All right, what have we got to work with?
Well, Captain, androids and robots, well, they're just not capable of independent creative thought.
Yet the device that Norman claims to be their central control is totally inadequate to the task of directing more than 200,000 of them.
I agree. What, in your opinion, does direct them?
There are a large number of Alices, of Trudies, Maisies, Annabelles, and according to my research, a Herman series, an Oscar series, a whole plethora of series, in fact. But only one Norman.
Norman. When I told one of the Alices that the Enterprise was a lovely lady and we loved her, she said, Norman, coordinate. Why Norman? Unless...
To function as they do, each android mind must be one component of a mass brain linked through a central locus.
Named Norman. Forming one gigantic, highly intelligent mind. And the glowing badges, they indicate the mind in operation.
That would seem logical.
Yes, logical, that's what it is. And that in turn gives us a weapon that we can use against them. We must use... wild, insane, irrational, illogic, aimed right at Norman.
Captain, you sing and dance as well as anyone I've ever seen, but what the devil are you talking about?
What would seem to be a sound and perhaps our only opportunity.
Opportunity? Now listen, Spock, you may be a wonderful science officer, but believe me, you couldn't sell fake patents to your mother.
I fail to understand why I should care to induce my mother to purchase falsified patents.
Mud rolls his eyes.
Forget it.
Let's get to the point. Harry, you said you wanted to help, do you?
Captain, the kind of a wholesome antiseptic galaxy that these androids would run would be purgatory for a man like me.
That's fine, Harry. The androids will be expecting us to make a break for it, and that's where you come in.
What can I do?
Nothing, Harry, just...
He winks at McCoy.
Go to sleep.
What do you mean? Oh, no. Wait a minute, gentlemen. No, what I had in mind was actually more on the line of a few words of sage counsel, as it were, advice.
Oh, Harry, I do believe you're putting on weight.
McCoy has drugged Mud. Kirk goes to the throne room.
Yes.
We have a medical problem. Your ex-lord, Harry Mud.
He is human. You will have to care for him.
We are caring for him, but our doctor needs his medical equipment aboard the Enterprise.
The starship is forbidden to humans.
You are programmed to serve. If we're not allowed access to our medical equipment, Harry Mudd will die. He will cease to function. You will have failed to serve.
Alice One's eyes glaze over, and her badge pendant starts flashing.
I am directed to observe the situation.
Kirk nods. They go back to the living quarters, where Mudd is slumped in a chair, attended by McCoy, Uhura, and Chekhov.
He is malfunctioning.
He is dying.
If you take him to your sick bay, will he be repaired?
Oh, yes.
No. They're lying. It's a trick. Dr. McCoy injected something into Harry Mudd to make him look sick. It's a trick to get back on board and sabotage the ship.
The request is refused.
Uhura, why did you tell her?
Because I want an android body. I want immortality. I'll live forever, Captain. I'll be young and beautiful.
You have been of assistance. We shall fulfill our obligation.
Thank you.
The programming for your body will be completed before we leave.
Alice One goes. Kirk turns on Uhura.
Uhura.
He takes her by the shoulders.
Beautiful!
I half believed it myself.
Well, the androids were expecting an attempt, and now we've made it.
What's next, Captain?
Next, we take the Alices on a trip through Wonderland.
Kirk comes back into the throne room alone and presses the call button on the side of the throne. Two Alice androids appear.
Do you require something?
Yes. Your attention.
The doors opposite the throne room open. McCoy and Scotty step through, take up positions either side of the door, and bow to one another. McCoy mimes playing the violin, Scotty mimes a flute. Chekhov and Lieutenant Uhura waltz in through the door. The two Alice androids gaze in wonderment. Alice, too, turns to Kirk.
What are they doing?
They're celebrating.
Alice 118 turns to Kirk.
What are they celebrating?
Their captivity.
The two androids watch, mystified, as the foolery continues. Kirk mimes conducting.
You enjoy the music?
Music?
118's badge flashes.
Music?
Alice 2's badge flashes. The dance ends. Chekhov bows extravagantly to the others.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, lovely lady. You dance divinely.
Thank you, Heinz.
Why does she strike him?
She likes him. Mr. Chekhov, the floor is no place for an officer. Attention! Now stand absolutely still.
Yes, Captain.
Chekhov strikes an absurd Cossack pose, then leaps up and down. The others clap in time. Kirk glances at the androids. They're completely mystified.
That's much better, Mr. Chekhov.
Alice 2's badge flashes.
It is illogical.
Your statement is illogical.
118's eyes glaze over and her badge stays lit up. The same thing happens to Alice 2. Chekhov stops dancing. McCoy brings out his tricorder and scans the two girls.
How does it look?
Completely underdirected. Oblivious to everything.
Good. I wonder how Spock's doing.
Of course. Your computations would inevitably lead to a total description of the parabolic intersection of dimension with dimension.
Mr. Spock, you have a remarkably logical and analytical mind.
Thank you.
In the engineering workshop, Spock looks from Alice 27 to Alice 210. He places his hands on 210's neck and presses his fingers into her flesh.
Is there some significance to this action?
Puzzled and disappointed, Spock tries a different tactic. He points to Alice 27.
I love you. However, I hate you.
But I'm identical in every way with Alice 27.
Yes, of course. That is exactly why I hate you. Because you are identical.
Both Alice badges start to flash. They stare ahead, their eyes glaze over and shut. Their heads flop to one side and their pendants light up steadily. Spock studies them with a satisfied nod.
Fascinating.
Back in the quarters with Mud.
All right, it's worked so far, but we're not out yet.
Well, success, Captain. We've been pruning the leaves and branches of the tree. Now it is time to get to work on the root.
If Norman is the control center, he should be in a bind by what we've done. If we can overload him further, we should be able to immobilize all of them. Does everybody remember what to do?
Affirmative.
Aye, sir. Acknowledged?
Norman is in the control room with Alice's 11 and 3. Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Scotty, and Mudd come in.
What are you doing here?
I want you to surrender.
That is illogical. We can move more quickly than you. We are invulnerable to attack. We are much stronger.
No, we are stronger. And I'll prove it to you. Can you harm a man that you're programmed to serve?
No.
Kirk gestures to Mudd.
But you already have, Norman Laddie. Human beings do not survive on bread alone, you poor soulless creature, but on the nourishment of liberty. For what indeed is a man without freedom? Not but a mechanism trapped in the cogwheels of eternity.
You offer us only well-being.
Food and drink and happiness mean nothing to us. We must be about our job.
Suffering and torment and pain. Laboring without end.
Dying and crying and lamenting over our burdens.
Only this way can we be happy.
They curtsy. The Alice's badges start flashing.
That is contradictory. It is not logical. Mr. Spock, explain.
Why not?
Logic is a little tweeting bird chirping in a meadow. Logic is a wreath of pretty flowers which smell bad. Are you sure your circuits are registering correctly? Your ears are green.
Kirk gestures to Scotty, who clutches his hand to his chest.
I cannot go on. I'm tired of happiness. I'm tired of comfort and pleasure. I'm ready. Kill me. Kill me.
The others mime phases.
Goodbye, cool universe.
Scotty dies. McCoy bends down to inspect him.
He's dead. You cannot have killed him. You have no weapons.
Scotty. Scotty's dead. He had too much happiness, but now he's happier. He's dead. And we'll miss him. Let us hear it for our poor dead friend. What is a man but that lofty spirit, that sense of enterprise, that devotion to something that cannot be sensed, cannot be realized, but only dreamed, the highest reality.
Brilliant! Bravo, bravo, Captain!
How'd you like it?
That is irrational, illogical. Dreams are not real.
Our logic is to be illogical. That is our advantage. Mr. Spock, it is time. The explosive.
Very well, Captain.
Spock mimes handling explosives.
Explosive!
Easy, everyone.
Don't panic, women and children first.
Spock molds it in his hand.
Spock, isn't that too much for our purposes?
I believe that is the correct amount, Captain.
Kirk backs away. Norman and the Alices watch, mystified.
Mr. Mudd, are you ready?
Aye, aye.
Be careful, I would not want you to drop it.
Spock mimes throwing it to Mudd. Mudd fumbles the catch, but saves the imaginary explosive just before it hits the ground. He holds out his hand to McCoy.
Detonator. Fuse. Primer. Mash it.
The golf club.
There is no explosive.
No? Observe.
Oh!
Mud mimes hitting the explosives with the invisible golf club.
Are you all right?
The two Alice androids have shut down completely. Kirk goes back to Norman.
But there was no explosion.
I lied.
What? He lied. Everything Harry tells you is a lie. Remember that. Everything Harry tells you is a lie.
Now listen to this carefully, Norman. I am lying.
You say you are lying, but if everything you say is a lie, then you are telling the truth, but you cannot tell the truth because everything you say is a lie, but you lie, you tell the truth, but you cannot, for you lie. Illogical, illogical, please explain. You are humans. Only humans can explain their behavior. Please explain.
I am not programmed to respond in that area.
Smoke is pouring from Norman's ears. He shuts his eyes. His head lolls back and he ceases to function. Spock comes back in.
I believe they are all immobilized, Captain.
Good.
Kirk, old man, I'm beginning to develop considerable respect for you.
Why, thank you.
Would you consider entering a partnership arrangement with me? I've got some ideas.
A partnership arrangement? You and me?
Yes.
I've got something else in mind. Let's go.
Well, you must be very unhappy, Mr. Spock.
That is a human emotion, Doctor, with which I'm totally unfamiliar. How could I be unhappy?
Well, we found a whole world of minds that worked just like yours. Logical, unemotional, completely pragmatic. And we poor, irrational humans whipped them in a fair fight. Now you'll find yourself back among us illogical humans again.
Which I find eminently satisfactory, Doctor. For nowhere am I so desperately needed as among a shipload of illogical humans.
Touché, Bones.
I've never heard of anything so revolting. We'll soon get to the bottom of this. Kirk!
And what's all this I hear about my having to stay here?
Yes, Mud, you've been paroled to the android population of this planet.
The androids are being reprogrammed. Their original purpose was to adapt this planet for productive use. They'll begin that work again.
But what do I do? Kirk, I'm no scientist.
No, you're an irritant. You'll stay here and provide a first-class example to the androids of a human failure. They'll learn by close observation how to avoid ones like you in the future.
How long?
As long as you continue to be an irritant, Harry. It's up to you.
Sulky at first, Mud looks round at the bevy of android lovelies. Alice's, Trudy's, Maisie's, and Annabelle's.
I suppose that taking everything into consideration, as it were, and noting all the different possibilities, I could manage. And as detention sentences go, this one isn't too uncomfortable. And I'm back in the galaxy again.
Yes, you are. Oh, there's one more thing, Harry. We've programmed a special android attendant to take care of your every need. She'll help you find an incentive to work with the androids and not exploit them.
I call that unexpectedly civil of you, Captain.
Yes.
Harcourt! Harcourt, Fenton, Mudd, what have you been up to? Have you
shut
been
up,
drinking
shut
again? You answer
Stella,
me.
Stella, shut up.
You miserable.
I order you.
Toad.
Shut up, Stella.
Going out all night and then giving me some silly story. Harcourt.
Another one.
Harcourt, Fenton, Mudd. You've been overeating again and drinking for me.
Doug, you can't do this to me.
You need constant supervision.
You
see, I've got my...
A third wife appears. The number around her neck is 500.
You're on a regular schedule from
number 500.
You're going to do 100 push-ups a day. You're going to run 2 miles every morning before you get your breakfast. And you're...
What have you been?
I don't want to have to tell you.
The three wife droids surround Mud.
Goodbye, Harry. Have fun.
Kirk and the landing party wave goodbye. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.